did you have this radio program?
For 3 years. Every morning for a year, every morning, 6 days a week.
Hmm. Oh my goodness.
I wrote 1,500 words every day for 6 days a week. And then we began to cut it down to, then we cut out Saturday mornings. Mm-hmm. And it was only 5 days a week.
Now, where were you as far as organization and community involvement at this point? Were you still continuing with
that? Oh, yes.
What were you doing?
Yeah, now, for instance, up at this, now where am I, my years of 1938-40, uh-huh. where my became president of the conference, and it just certainly wasn't, you just don't become president of an organization until you have put in a lot of years being chairman and being a motivating force.
That's right.
So that I was very active during all those years, both through in Hadassah and Federation and Red Cross. Community. It's called the United Way, but the community, sir, a community what?
Community fund?
But you mean community chest.
Community chest, that's right. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to ask that question. How did Mr. Lyon feel about your involvement, both professionally in the community and as a real community leader?
Morris and I were very close, and we saw eye to eye. Remember that our attraction for each other was intellectually.
That's right. Going back to that group.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so that I think that looking back, we had a rapport of community needs and the needs of the Jewish people. We saw eye to eye on those things, mm-hmm. And he always made it possible for me to do whatever I could. And I think in his way, he was probably very proud. And he would say, when someone said, well, why aren't you more active in the community to him? He'd say, I mind the store, quote, and I give my wife to the community so she can do what she can for the community. So that there was never any question of friction in my house. And then, too, I never neglected either my house or my children, mm-hmm. or certainly not my marriage. I gave the energies and the attention to marriage that I thought a woman should. I was a great believer in the unity and the importance of marriage and a close family. I know that it probably did a great deal for my family being active. Whenever I was responsible for having an important person in town as a speaker any place, I would bring him home and invite him to my home for dinner. My children had this exposure all the time because my husband was always interested. He was interested, so my children were interested. Mm-hmm. And now many women have said to me, what did you do right that your children are interested in the community? Where so many of our children were turned off by this going to meetings. Well, in the first place, they have to have it in them that they want to give service. Mm-hmm. But getting it by osmosis didn't hurt any because they got to have a picture from the inside that might never otherwise have had this feeling of the importance of the community and the social structure. So that whenever they gave service, all my girls, I think, have. We have the three daughters. I want to come to my oldest daughter,
sure.
who after her marriage, after her first child was born, moved to Wheeling, West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And in Wheeling, both Shirley and Al Zions were a tremendous factor in their community. And when their little girl got to be about 10 years old, she already organized a Young Judea,
hmm.
and became its president.
Shirley Zions'
daughter, her daughter Gail. Now Shirley and Al were part of the United Jewish appeal. Their integral part of Al was on the board of his synagogue. Shirley was a president of the sisterhood. She was a president of Hadassah in Wheeling. These children got this kind of a background too. I want to say in passing that Gail today is a citizen of, has a dual citizenship. She is a citizen not only of the United States, but of Israel. She, when she was a junior, in her junior year of university, she spent at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem and met and married a young man who was a farmer as in a moshav. And they now, and I have a great grandson, a second generation Sabra, Ariel. Ariel Raz. Raz is their name. It became Hebrewized.
Could I ask you to tell us that story that I happen to have heard from Emmy about being when you went to visit last time, how you played grandmother babysitter?
What's this daughter's name?
This is Shirley and Al Zion's daughter.
This is their
daughter.
Their daughter is Gail.
This is her
my granddaughter. Is Gail Zion
and she
Raz and lives in Hatzeva, 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 which is in the Negev, in Israel, halfway between Beersheba and Eilat. You probably know the story. Maybe told better than I.
I'd like to hear it. I have it on the tape, but Betty hasn't heard it.
I went there to meet my great grandson, who was named for my husband. Ariel is the Hebrew. Ari is the Hebrew word for lion.
How do you spell it?
A R I. But his name is A R I E L. So I went to meet him when he was about 4.5 months old. And when I got down to Hatzeva, Gail, of course, helped her husband on the field. I have to tell you that Gail is a magna cum laude from the University of Pittsburgh and has a great feel for the earth and the importance of the products that come from the earth. And she feels this is a very dignified thing to do, as the Jews of Israel feel about farming. And when Micha's, her husband, parents came here, came to Israel, they did not know each other. They were young. Eli Rosenblatt jumped ship. He was an illegal immigrant into Israel. And his mother came with her father and mother and sister on a visa from Germany. Now, when Micha's grandfather, when Hitler was coming into power, his grandfather said to his father, Eli, you've got to get out of Germany. And Jews have got to go get back to the land. I want you to go to Denmark and study agronomy. And he was never to come back to Germany because things got heated up. And he then went when he graduated the agronomy school, his father also said to him, Jews have to be scientific farmers. They've got to know what they're doing. When he graduated, he then was able to get on one of the ships that was sailing, and it was a great deal like the story of Exodus, because it was not permitted to land when it got to Haifa. And in the cover of night, he jumped ship, and the boats of Haganah picked him up. And he was about 18 at the time.
This is your grandson-in-law's father, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He met Dorley a couple of years later and married. Now, Dorley's father started their moshav. They were not they were not people for kibbutzim. They believed in a cooperative life instead. And he started that about 38 years ago at Sede Warburg. Mr. Warburg was a great benefactor in Israel, was a great influence in the upbuilding of Palestine. And so they named this Moshav for them. Now, to come back to Ariel, that's how he became a second, because Micha was born in Sede Warburg, and Ariel then became a second generation. And I had a great deal of pleasure, as you might know, to meet and play with him. And I didn't realize until Gail went out to help her husband on the fields for an hour or two that he really wasn't a grandson. He really was a great grandson, because I had a hard time picking him up.
But you really played babysitter when you were over there.
Yes.
Well, who babysits when you're not there?
They take the child with them. And the purpose of a moshav is not to use hard labor. And this is a comparatively new moshav.
How large is it?
It is about 50 young people, 50 families, young people. They were the boys who came, who were the veterans from the 67 war. And their moshav borders, but I mean borders, on Jordan. So that their farms are adjacent to barbed wire that separates that no man's land, Israel, from Jordan. So this was what they call a paramilitary moshav, because it is a border settlement, and a border settlement is a protective one, where all the men take watch in turn, and also protect the border of Israel.
How do you feel about your granddaughter living in this type of environment?
Well,
great grandson being raised.
Yes. Well, I have spent most of my life working for the establishment of the State of Israel, I always visualized it as one where people who needed to come there should have a home. I never really felt that I needed to make Aliyah to Israel, nor did I feel my family needed to. It was someplace where people who needed it. And so it came with a lot of mixed feelings that my granddaughter made her home there. I will say that my children are better adjusted to it. They feel it's her happiness, her choice. And her husband is someone with whom she has a great deal in common. They're not only greatly in love and want to build a family, but Gail always felt that Jewish children were not as secure around the world as they will be in Israel. And she felt a Jewish child should be raised in Israel.
Now, how long
to remain
she
Jewish? She's married 2.5 years, and she spent 2 other years prior to that, one as not as a student, but as a what do they call that year in Israel?
Foreign study?
Exchange
student?
Yes, but before she began her university work.
Mm-hmm.
And then she came back and did her freshman and sophomore years together in 1 year, and her junior year in Israel, came back for her senior year after she was married.
Hmm. Now, what about your other children and grandchildren, Molly? Could you tell us?
Yeah, my other children and grandchildren live the traditional lives.
I have three daughters.
And they're all graduate school teachers. And my middle daughter, I might say that Shirley and Al Zines moved back to Pittsburgh so that when Gail was about 14 years old, so that she had her high school and college work, university work here. Mm-hmm. The other two
Should we give us their names?
Yeah. Grace married James Lenk of Kansas City. She graduated University of Pittsburgh, and he was a graduate of Carnegie Mellon. 23 years ago, was it Carnegie?
It was Carnegie,
no, Carnegie Tech. Right. Institute of Technology. And then
how
she went
her last name?
L-E-N-K. And they went on to Kansas City, live, which is his home. And my third daughter, Mimi, went to Penn State, where she graduated and met and married a young man from Altoona, and they live, Jack Halpern, and they live here in Pittsburgh. Shirley teaches school, and Mimi has taught and expects to teach again.
Now, where does Grace live? Out of town?
She lives in Kansas City, yes. Now, Grace's oldest son is a junior student at Stanford University in Palo Alto. Now, Shirley's number two child is a student of American University and is doing his junior year at the Tel Aviv University. So he's spending a great deal of time on the Moshav with Gail and Micha, mm-hmm. and plays a great deal with Ariel, and helps them on their farm, and other weekends uses the opportunity of touring Israel and studying it in depth. And one of his subjects he's taking his junior year is Arab and Israel political relations. I think he has some, as a young student, has some mixed feelings about the political life, and he probably will have, I'm hoping he'll have a lot to offer in that direction in his more mature life. I think he expects to go into law.
Well,
goes to political law.
Are they, or do you feel that the children are being, their children are being raised in much the same way as you raised your children? Or can you give me some sort of an idea of a contrast?
Well, I think that our daughters, Maris and I were not as permissive as I think my daughters are with their children. Whereas each of them has a very close family life. Almost contrary to what family life is today, they are very close with their children, and I think perhaps they have a greater rapport with their children than my husband and I had with ours.
And what about in contrast to, let's go back to the way you were raised,
I was raised even more strictly, very much more strictly. I mean, there was a. I think I was possibly one of the early renegades, and that women had to do something. The women had a place and had a fulfillment, need for fulfillment, and from my very earliest days of mm-hmm. childhood.
Mm-hmm. But you had to have gotten that from somewhere. Was that from within or from the?
Well, I had a grandmother in Russia who.
Yeah.
Who, while her husband was a Talmudic student, ran this tannery, and she.
Who ran the tannery?
My grandmother.
Grandmother ran the
tannery.
And who hired and fired and dealt with not only with the. With the business that was necessary, but with employees, so that this my mother always felt that
you got her chance.
But if we stayed on, if she had alive, I'd probably gone into the tannery.
Speaking of business, what kind of business was Mr. Lyon?
Oil.
Did you work at all with him in
yes,
the business?
Yes. He began as he was a chemist with an oil company when we were married, mm-hmm. and he went into business in 1933, and I helped him a great deal at first, and then there were then I, there was no need for it. And after 33, then I had my second child in 32, so that I now was, had two children and had, and then gave much more time to the community. Because I hadn't been, that was the last of my business careers, mm-hmm. except that I went back when my children were in college, and we had a shortage of help in the office that I went back for several years. And that was the year I also was chairman of the Women's Division campaign fundraising in 1950. That was also in the office.
So the community involvement, we know about Pittsburgh Conference, we know about Hadassah, and Federation.
Yes.
Now, is there anything else that we...
Well, during the time that I was president of Hadassah...
What were those years, Molly?
The years were 1938...
That's wrong.
That was 43 to 46. Hadassah, like Council and B'nai B'rith, were members of the Congress of Clubs and Club Women. Mm-hmm. I have a 12 o'clock appointment.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Okay.
down the hall.
Oh, okay.
And so I was a delegate to the Congress of Clubs. Mm-hmm. And these were the years, and these were pre-State of Israel years, you'll notice, 43-46. Remember that there was the partition plan and that came into being, which Senator Bartlett Crum was chairman, and the United Nations then created the state as of the partition in November of 1947, and the state came into being in early in May of 1948. Now, these were very crucial years of my presidency, where we had to create mass meetings and gather support, political support, for the creation of a state, where we had to bring this kind of information to senators and congressmen that they were not aware of, and we very frequently, and I was one of those who went to Washington to call on Congress. And so I mentioned the Congress of Clubs and Club Women in this relationship.
Now, this was at the same time you were president of Hadassah?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And because being a member organization and a delegate to Congress, and these were the years where we try to get as many friends of Palestine, friends of the Jews, as we possibly could, by soliciting signatures to petitions. And I would come to these delegate meetings with my arms full of petitions and wanted to gather signatures, and the president, and her name will be of lasting memory to me, for and I hope it'll be for a blessing, because Mrs. John M. Winters, mm-hmm. Mrs. John Winters, I don't think there was an M, John Winters said to me, "Molly, give me those petitions. They will sign for me more quickly, and I can get many more signatures for you than you can." And so we use the media of Congress Clubs and Club Women as a stepping stone for getting sympathizers for the State of Israel, for the coming State of Israel. Now, at this time, I was able to bring in the president of National, Hadassah, from New York to Pittsburgh, to speak at the annual meeting of the Congress of Clubs and Club Women. And remember, there were very few Jewish delegates. Mm-hmm. And this was an all-Gentile, Christian audience made up of clubs from not only in the city of Pittsburgh, but all the surrounding neighborhoods. It was a city club for them, and a civic club. It wasn't called a civic, but they did many things that helped in the civic development of the city of Pittsburgh. So that this was a tremendous opportunity that I had as president of Hadassah, and as a delegate to Congress of Clubs, and later became was at this time a member of the board of the Congress of Clubs and Club Women, that I was able to get this kind of, an audience for
bridging a gap.
Yeah, it was a tremendous importance to the political movement, Zionist movement.
Good. Have there been others? Have it just been a continuation of interest in these same areas?
Well, I've worked with Mrs. John M. Phillips for the Community Chest.
Mm-hmm.
When she was chairman, I helped her in organizing. And Mrs. John M. Phillips also was instrumental interested in promoting Ann X. Alpern, Attorney Alpern, to become a judge.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't an easy thing to get a Jewish woman to become a judge. And Mrs. Phillips called me to be her co-chairman.
Have you done much as far in politics?
No, this was as far as open in politics.
How are we doing?